This is episode 208 on May 18th, 2017.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
And I'm Matt Hoffman.
And I'm back.
Woohoo!
I tell you what, this has been an interesting few weeks, but I want to first off say thanks, Matt and Mark, for holding down the fort and taking care of putting out an episode and all that. It was nice to be able to not have to worry about, you know, things. Well, worry a little bit, but, you know, not have to.
I don't think we did a good job.
Oh, whatever. Yeah, I was laughing. I listened to the two episodes I wasn't on, and, you know, Dave Podner had stepped in one episode, and then Mark for the two that I wasn't in. But yeah, thanks, guys. My grandmother had passed away, and she was 93, so she lived a nice long life. And so I went home to California to be with my family, and we had a memorial service for her that was just absolutely amazing. She said, don't cry for me, just have a party. And we had a great time, and I got to see a lot of family and friends who made it there, and just got to pretty much spend almost a week with just my family. So it was great. It was, I kind of went there to, with, you know, high hopes of doing some photography and stuff. But, you know, when it comes down to things, sometimes just being there in the moment is the best thing. And so I held back my, photographer, I guess, urges, and, you know, just spent time with my family, and it was good. So,
You didn't go and try to take that picture?
No. One of the episodes, I think it was,
it was like Mark 3 weeks ago.
Oh, was it 3 weeks ago? Mark and Dave, was it Mark and Dave or Mark and you? I think it was Mark and Dave.
I don't really know.
Yeah. talked about the San Francisco shot by the, I believe it was a Google engineer. And
that was Mark and Dave. Yeah.
So I was
that was the show I wasn't on.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go over there. I'm going to be, you know, because I'm only, you know, 50 miles from San Francisco when I'm in San Jose. But it's actually a little bit further because you have to go through San Francisco to get to the Golden Gate. And I was thinking, oh, yeah, one of these nights I'm going to go over there and I'm going to set up my tripod and I'm gonna take a picture and try to recreate the whole scenario. And when I got there, you know, you fight jet lag because, you know, I'm like 3 hours ahead of California. And I was like, not tonight. And it got to be every night was like, not tonight. And it was good that I didn't try to do it, because I would have probably bombed, you know, thoroughly failed. But I went with high hopes, let's just say. But I had a good trip, and it was a time to reflect and think about not only family, but also photography. And it's kind of what I want to talk about today. But first, Matt, how are you doing? You're back sort of kind of too also, because we took a week off.
yeah. I don't remember why we took the week off last week, but I think
it was your gingivitis.
It was what?
Your gingivitis. Remember?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, severe case of Gingivitis, that's right. Hey, excuse all the rumbling in the background. That's a thunderstorm.
Hey, that's added sound effects. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's basically I need thunder when I'm talking for effects. Things are good. I haven't been quite as busy as you. I honestly really don't know what I've been doing with myself. Probably a whole lot of nothing. To be honest with you, I'm turning into like a couch potato in a way, because there's like lots of good sports on TV right now. So like every night after we get our son to bed, I'm just like ready to just chill and watch some playoff basketball or playoff hockey. Usually both. I just kind of go back and forth between the two. And, you know, being that I'm in Northeast Ohio, naturally I, you know, have to root for the Cleveland Cavaliers a little bit. So of course I stayed up and watched the Cavaliers play last night. And, but yeah, not as much hockey as I would like, or hockey. Yeah. Let's try that again. I guess that's what's on my brain. Not as much photography as I would like. Did a little bit of waterfall photography a couple weekends ago, which was pretty fun. Took my son with me, and we went to this waterfall that's not too far away from where I live. And it's a place I go, you know, I don't know, kind of often, because it's you know, it's like a half hour away.
Yeah.
And it's just like the most improbable place, because it's like literally in the middle of a bunch of farmland. And there's just kind of like this grove of trees with this just really awesome sandstone gorge in the middle of it. And we had gotten a lot of rain. So I thought, well, that waterfall's got to be flowing pretty good. So
yeah,
we went down there and, you know, I just kind of let my son throw rocks and sticks and stuff in the creek, and he does his thing. And I was taking pictures with both the iPhone and my Sony camera. But, you know, I did a lot of shots with slow shutter cam and that kind of thing. And yeah, it was a good time.
Good. Yeah, I have to say, you know, one of the things that I'm, you know, going to do this weekend is actually do some outdoors photography, because I'm going camping. But yeah, you know, I'm going to have to start taking my kids out somewhere and start actually getting them involved with me taking pictures, kind of do what you do with Joe. He's, you know, one of these days he's going to have his own camera with him when you go out.
Well, he actually does have his own camera, and it, but he doesn't like it. He likes to use mine.
Of course.
So, like, sometimes I'll let him use my little Nikon, like, waterproof, shockproof camera that I got recently. He prefers that. It's actually funny, because just, like, literally half an hour ago, he wandered downstairs from his bedroom and told me that he was having trouble going to sleep. And then he saw his camera sitting on my desk, and he was like telling me he wanted to take pictures. So he was just like taking pictures in my office till I got him back up to his bedroom. But
nice excuse.
Yeah, I'll get him focused on photography here pretty soon.
That's cool. Yeah. Well, one of the things I'm going to do this weekend is I'm going camping, and it's a annual event that I usually go to. Last year I didn't go to it because I actually went to Missouri instead. But we have our district powwow for Royal Rangers in South Carolina this weekend, and I'm the communications coordinator, which means I'm also the photographer and videographer and all that. So most of the time I would kind of dread the video part, because I would use my iPhone, which is really good. The problem is that my previous iPhones were always 16 gig, and I would always naturally run out of space. But this year, my iPhone 7 is the 256 gig, which means I have probably more space than I do battery power. So I'm actually really looking forward to taking video this weekend. And my director wants to be able to produce a video, and he's going to get video from other people and besides just myself. So it'll be interesting to see what, you know, how other people outside of, you know, just me are going to do video. What kind of format's going to be? Is it going to be high definition, or is it, you know, what quality and stuff? So I'm actually really looking forward to this weekend and going out and capturing some video along with still lifes. I was talking to Mark just before the show, and I told him, I said, yeah, I'm going to take my iPhone for video, and then I'm going to have my Canon 6D for still shots. He goes, yeah, no, you're not going to take your 6D with you. I'm like, yeah, I am. He goes, no, you're not, because you're not going to use it. And I was thinking about it, and I'm like, you know what? You're right. I will probably not use it, and it'll probably be just some added weight on my neck. So I'm actually going to leave the 6D this time. I would use it mainly for stills. The 6D has video capabilities, but I'm still new. I'm green with the 6D when it comes to video. But I, you know, once I get done with this weekend and doing video, I'm going to start getting in the habit and practice more with my 6D so that I can get those money shots, right? No, I'm just kidding.
I think it's good to, you know, to switch it up. I mean, if you have, you know, cameras other than your iPhone, I think it's beneficial to use them.
Oh, sure. Well, one of the things that I mentioned on other episodes was, you know, I had the Canon 30D, and that was my camera for probably about 7 years. And it wasn't until I got the iPhone that I had a sort of a spark come to my photography, because I kind of got bored with the 30D. And it, you know, being able to do, it was like, okay, I know how to use this camera, and yeah, okay, I'm bored with it. You know, not bored in the sense that I was going to give up on photography, but kind of I had lost interest. I hadn't had a whole lot of spark. But when I got the iPhone, all of a sudden, I had this renewed spark in photography. Not because it was the best, not because it was the, you know, some great magical thing. It was because it wasn't. It was terrible. You know, the images were rough. There was really only one function. It was point and shoot. But it became a challenge. How do you take something with a 3 to 5 megapixel range and create good photography? And so it forced me to get creative. It forced me to step outside of the bounds of the SLR and into something that was more like a point and shoot. And, you know, thus, you know, sparked interest in the iPhonography. So you're right. Having multiple cameras that do different functions, I say, is really good for your photography, because, you know, you don't get stuck in a groove, you know, especially, you know, at a point where you will lose interest in photography. Bill says, I find myself importing my camera photos to my phone because of all the great editing apps. He says they're a lot faster and easier to use than Lightroom and Photoshop. I agree. I do the same thing.
I agree with that too. I've been, I've been, you know, importing like the photos from my Sony NEX7 to my phone and just editing them on the phone.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I get the results that I'm after, and I feel like I get them faster and easier. I think the only time that I wouldn't edit on my phone is if like I was you know, doing some sort of paid work, you know, where everything had to be like absolutely perfect, I would probably, you know, edit on my desktop computer then.
I actually did some paid work on my iPhone. I had rented a 16.
I just have higher standards than you, Joe.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
I rented a 60 and did that wedding that one time for a friend, and I edited all my images on my iPhone. I think I had the 4S at the time, and you know, they turned out great. It was nice. I didn't have to sit there and, you know, I did take them back onto my computer and just kind of double check because, you know, I was kind of nervous about doing that. But a good chunk of the editing was on my iPhone. But
yeah, I think too, it also depends on like what the end use is going to be.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and we're going to go into our focus point. So let me play this.
Focus point.
All right. So today is going to be a little bit different. You know, my time that I had with my family had I had a lot of time to think and you know, kind of ponder different aspects of photography. And one of the things is that I got in a conversation with my mom and I think it was my brother, and we were talking about the albums of photos that my grandmother had that are family history, you know, just these very old, you know, really old albums to really new ones. And, you know, this was back in the day when you took a picture, you put it on paper and you passed it around, and, or you stuck it to a book, did things with it, you know, instead of it sitting on a computer. And one of the things that we were kind of, you know, afraid of is that, you know, when my grandmother passed away, you know, she has a lot of family. And one of the concerns that I had was I didn't want the albums to be dispersed throughout the family until we had done something with them, meaning digitized them or you know, something in that vein. So, you know, it got me thinking, what do we do with photos that are not digitized? You know, how do we get them on a computer, and then what do we do with them from there? And, you know, so I took one of the albums and I was just going through some of the photos. I have family that, you know, were from Minnesota that had their family had moved from Norway and a lot of family history. There's images in there from the 1800s all the way up till, you know, the, you know, 2000s. And some of these images are priceless, absolutely priceless. They're, you know, like I have images of a great aunt and great, is it great aunt? So is my my great grandfather's sister and brother-in-law that were missionaries to Africa in the 1920s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so they have pictures of them on the boat getting ready to go to Africa. And then while they're in Africa, so they're with the, I think there was a French Congo, which is now Zaire. I'm not sure. I gotta look that up. But they, you know, they have pictures from the 1920s and these are all in albums. You know, my grandmother was born in 1923. And, you know, so we have pictures of her when she was a baby and then, you know, up into her college years and then and so forth. But once these albums leave that central location, they will most likely go into the ether, meaning we may never see them ever again. Family members will move. People will, you know, I'm living across the country from my family. You know, if I took albums with me, most of my family in California will probably never ever see it again. I'm talking extended family. You know, my brothers, my sister, my parents would probably see them. But, you know, why would I want to take that from that central location until something's at least done with them? So, you know, I was thinking a lot about it, and we were talking, and we're thinking, okay, let's digitize all these images. Let's at least get them in a digital format before they go anywhere, because I want to have a copy of every single one of them. But if I took all the albums with me, that would be kind of selfish. And I know there's other, you know, members of my family that would love to have those images also. So I just thought it would be a good subject to kind of talk about, ponder a little bit. Plus, I want to hear what you guys have to say about it too. But Matt, do you have anything you want to mention about that, or any insight, advice for me, maybe?
No, not really any advice. I don't spend as much time as you have, you know, in recent years, like thinking about this stuff, even though we've talked about it several times. Yeah. I don't know. I've like put zero effort into preserving whatever photos my family might have, you know, with the exception of just the photos that I take of like my wife and son.
Sure. Now, I you know, you're always going to have somebody in the family that is interested in preserving the family history. Not everybody is going to either think about it or care. But, you know, there sometimes it's those people that drive you absolutely bonkers, like myself, that end up saving things that in years to follow, you know, I look at what my grandmother has and is thinking, you know, when I was a kid, I thought it was all junk. You know, it's like all of this old stuff, you know, who needs it? Who would ever want to, you know, keep it? And now I look at it and goes, those are priceless treasures. You know, they're priceless treasures to me because they mean something to me, where, you know, they're not priceless treasures to anybody outside of the family, unless they're, you know, genuinely interested. But
yeah,
you know, is, you know, every family is different, every person is different, and so the weight of worth is different to everybody. But you know, sometimes it just starts with our own family. You know, the pictures that I'm taking with my kids, what am I doing with them? You know, I'm thinking of the thousands upon thousands of images and hundreds of videos that I have. What should I do with them? And, you know, those are going to be things that I'm going to have to think about for the future, because I have them sort of in one central location also. It's not a coffee table, but it's a hard drive. You know, and that's a lot easier to lose than a coffee table.
Sure. And it's like, you know, when your kids kind of reach the age where they start to become curious about, you know, their grandparents and great grandparents and stuff like that, are they going to be able to access that hard drive?
Right. Is there going to be a medium to be able to access it? Or will that hard drive die? You know, is it going to physically fall apart? So, you know, just I thought this would be a good subject to talk about, not just to come up with solutions, but to ponder and think about and, you know, kind of reflect and say, what am I doing with my images? What do I do with these images that are not in digital format? You know, these can be easily lost. They can, you know, a lot of people have lost images like that to fire, flood, just carelessly disregarding them, and they accidentally get thrown away. You know, those, you know, and it's not until afterwards when they start looking for them that they start to regret that they're gone. Let's see here. Dave says, I know that I know with Google and Microsoft, they have the scanning apps, but finding backup and formats that will be accessible for decades is the problem. Yeah, that's something that I'm going to have to look into. And, you know, I told my mom, I said, you know, we need to start by just starting to scan, you know, put them in folders and make them available for the family, you know, and it is a mountain. It is a huge endeavor. And I told her, I said, do not try to, you know, do this all in one setting. It's impossible. You know, we have hundreds of photos that, you know, need to be scanned. And they're going to, you know, we're going to have hundreds of photos that, you know, we don't know who's in them. We don't know where they are. But, you know, eventually somebody in the family goes, oh, that's so-and-so. Oh, okay, cool. You know, and then we document that. But, you know, I sat down with my grandmother about 3 years ago, and I've mentioned this before on the show. And I said, Grandma, we need to sit down with you and your photo albums, and I want to record you and get you, you know, you to say who's in these photos and any stories that you have with them, because I heard those when I was living with her. And I wish I had recorded them, but I had the chance 10 years later to sit down with her and do it. And now I have, in her words, the stories, the people that are in those photos, so that one day when I'm looking at a photo, I can say, oh, that is my great, great uncle or my great, great grandfather. And, you know, be able to put a name with a face. And a story with that name and face, so that my kids and my grandkids, further on down the line, you know, hundreds of years later, will know who they are and sort of their history a little bit. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. Bill says, I have photos of family from the early 1900s. I doubt my kids will have some of the old photos I have. Yeah. It's, you know, this is a, you know, this is a challenge. You know, as much as I want to keep all the photos in one place, I doubt it's ever going to happen. And plus, it takes up a good amount of storage. And I'm talking physical storage.
Yeah, I have photos just scattered all over the place. I have lots and lots of prints. I have... like basically like storage boxes, like kind of like plastic storage boxes, just filled with prints and filled with negatives. And then, you know, hard drives with pictures and pictures stored like in the cloud. You know, I use like the Amazon Prime service and everything, and there's pictures all over the place. It's anymore, it's hard to keep track of it all.
Yeah. You know what I did? I let my carbonite lapse.
Why?
I don't know. I'm debating on whether I want to keep it or not. You know, storage has become dirt cheap. And my brother is talking about having a cloud storage with a server that he has at the house. But if I have a copy there and a copy here, you know, I don't know if I need carbonite. But Greg says, switch to Backblaze. I'll look at that. I know it's kind of scary when I kind of let it lapse. You know, I kept getting the emails. You may lose all your photos. I'm like, yeah, I know. but you know, it's like I don't know. I'm going to have to think about it more on whether I want to renew that or not. Greg says it's way better than carbonite. I'll have to look into it. You know, there's a lot of options that we have for backup, a lot of options that we have for storage. You know, and it's, we live in a golden age where, you know, these things are available at our fingertips. And, you know, it is nice when a hard drive does crash that you're able to take everything and move it over to that new hard drive and have that stuff safe. But, all right. So those are just my thoughts. That's kind of what I wanted to bring to the show from the last few weeks. I've had time to kind of think about this a little bit. And, you know, I really want to hear what you guys have to say. So I'm going to post this question in the Facebook group. And I want you guys to, you know, participate and, you know, tell me what you've done or, you know, ask questions. You know, if you have a question about something, we have plenty of people. I mean, we're up to 800 and something in our group. I'm just shocked to see how many people are actually in our Facebook group. And, you know, if you have a good solution, go on there and let us know. You know, we don't know everything. I don't know everything. Matt might, but, you know, I don't.
I don't like to brag.
So, all right. So Greg says, one thing to remember about these backup services, they don't archive. They just back up. So if you delete something from your hard drive, they disappear. Yep. They'll disappear after 30 days. So that is important to remember.
Yeah.
It wasn't important if you deleted it off your hard drive.
That's right.
All right. I think it's time for our post pick of the week. So it helps if I have my thing ready. All right, here we go.
Post pick of the week.
All right, Matt, I'm going to pass it on to you.
All righty. Yeah, so the last 2 weeks we had a challenge that a lot of you embraced, and we kind of knew that you would. And the theme of that challenge was black and white. Very general theme, just as long as the photo is black and white. And I'll tell you what, when we do these ones and we get tons and tons of submissions, it's like 1,000 times harder to pick a winner.
Yes, it is.
You know, because there was a lot of really great, you know, a lot of really great images. So, you know, I was trying to decide, like, you know, what do I want to pick here? Do I want to go landscape or, you know, something different? I don't really know. There was just so many pictures that I liked. And one of the things that I thought everyone did a really good job with is that the photos that you guys posted, like, black and white seemed appropriate. There wasn't really like any picture that was posted where I thought, you know, I think this would look better in color. Like I don't know. I think everyone just did a really great job. So the picture that I'm picking for me is kind of a departure from the type of stuff that I normally gravitate towards. It's a photo from Brian Albright, and it's a picture of his dog, and he has the caption, "My dog on a lazy afternoon, edited in camera app, taken with iPhone 7 Plus."
Nice.
So I'm guessing that means he edited it with the editing tools, like right in the photos, maybe?
I think so.
Okay. So in any case, I love this picture. It's such an awesome portrait of his dog. I'm not real good with dogs. I'm not really a dog person, but it kind of looks like a boxer, sort of.
Yeah,
I'm
I think it is a boxer. What
dog breed that is, but we'll just pretend it's a boxer. And it's kind of like laying down or something. It looks like maybe it's on the couch or like in a chair or something, and he's got his chin resting on like the armrest. So like his little chin and his mouth is all kind of like smushed up or whatever, and there's some light coming from somewhere that's like shining on his face, like kind of like across his face. So his right eye is illuminated, and there's kind of this deep shadow like above his nose, and it just adds a lot of interest, I think, to the picture. And it also adds a lot of contrast, which is something that I really like to see in a black and white picture. And this just really caught my eye, and I just think it's a really great portrait of this dog.
Yeah, I agree. To me, it's like he's resting and he has this I don't care attitude. And, you know, it seems like, you know, we like to, give human characteristics to animals or things, but you know, when I look at it, I was like, yeah, okay, take a picture, I don't care. And that's kind of the thing that I get across from it. But the way the light is right where his eyes, where you can see, you know, one eye, but the other eye is kind of, you know, in the shadows. There's a lot of intrigue, a lot of tension right there. And I think it's a great image.
Awesome. Well, Brian, congratulations. It's a fantastic picture. And we'll be sure to post your picture as our banner photo in the Facebook group, and then also it will be featured in the Tiny Shutter Instagram feed.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Congratulations. And if you want to participate with our weekly photo challenge, you have two options. This week was the week where we chose from the weekly photo challenge. The other week, next week, we're going to be working off of the Tiny Shutter hashtag on Instagram. But in the meantime, we will set up another weekly challenge where we have 2 weeks to do it and collect some awesome images. So let's go ahead and pick a theme for our weekly photo challenge. And should we do... Do you have any ideas, Matt? Because we should have really talked about this beforehand, but we didn't.
Well, 2 weeks ago, like right after this black and white challenge started, Greg McMillan noticed that we were getting quite a few like architecture type pictures posted.
Oh.
So he suggested that we change the theme of to like black and white architecture. So I was thinking that maybe we can do architecture, but not specifically black and white. It could be black and white if that's what you want to post, but it could be color.
How about color and no black and white, since black and white was this last one?
Okay. Sure.
Okay. So we want color photos of architecture, which means it's a lot more difficult because a lot of times my architecture, if I don't like it, black and white makes it look better.
Well, here, I'm going to throw another little caveat in there as far as this is just like, in my opinion, a tip to help you get picked as post pick of the week. In architecture photos, straight lines are king.
Ooh,
so yeah. What I mean by that is if you could use an app like Snapseed or Nlight or Screwit to kind of get rid of converging lines,
yeah,
that would probably benefit you greatly.
Yep. That's where a tilt shift would come in if you had a regular camera.
That reminds me. So this is going off on a little tangent here.
Cool.
I saw an app And now I forget what it's called. It has something to do with Tilt Shift. It is by the company that I like a bunch of their apps. It's called Brain Fever Media. They do like lens light.
Yeah.
That type of stuff. I think that's what they do. In any case, they have a new tilt shift app out. I'm trying to look it up here real quick. Yeah, it is called Glass Tilt Shift.
Huh.
And it looks kind of intriguing. It's $2.99 in the App Store. I don't use tilt shift effects enough to warrant spending $3 on a tilt shift app.
At this rate, how much money have you spent on apps?
Well, a lot. And I do like this company's apps. I mean, they have a lot of cool apps. Like they have like the Reflect app. They have like a tiny planet app called Circular. They got Lens Light, Lens Flare, Alien Sky, which is a pretty good app. The Skylab photo editor, which is like a sky replacement app. That's a really good one. They have a depth effects is what the app is called. That's like a depth of field simulator. They have a lot of really great apps. This one hasn't really enticed me to buy it. It's called Glass Tilt Shift. And I'm sure it's a fantastic app, though, if you like tilt shift type stuff.
Sure.
Just thought I'd throw that out there since you mentioned tilt shift. And this app, it just came out like, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, a week ago, something like that.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Actually, I didn't realize it, but my projector that I have here at the house has a tilt shift effect, but it's used for it's used so if you're aiming up, you can shift the lens a little bit so that you're it's even on the wall. But
sure, yeah, that's pretty cool.
What do they call that? That's not lens correction. Is it lens correction? I forget the feature. But very cool. All right. So we will go ahead and do color photography. That's awesome. Color architecture for our new weekly photo challenge. And don't forget the Instagram hashtag Tiny Shutter, because next week we will pick from there. So, well, Matt, I think we have ourselves a show.
I would say so.
All right. Well, let me play this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Matt, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
All right. You can check me out on Instagram, IM, and Twitter at M Hoffman Photo.
Excellent. You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. You can find the show, links to our show notes, links to Facebook and to YouTube by going to tinyshutter.com. And I just want to say thanks, Matt and Mark and Dave, for carrying on the show the last few weeks while I was out. And, you know, I hate that we missed a week, but, we for various reasons, we just weren't able to do it, because we enjoy being here and being able to talk about photography, but not only that, talk about iPhone photography and the medium that, is so much fun. So, you know, I really appreciate not only you guys, but also our listeners, because without you guys, you know, we'd just be talking into a box. So,
yeah. Well, no problem, Joe. Anytime.
Awesome. All right, you guys. Thanks, and we'll see you next week. Matt, why don't you say goodbye to everybody?
All right, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
This is a great shot, Mav. I should be a photographer.
Remember, it's better to tell the truth.
And that's no lie. Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Barely.